I don't think I said a while ago, during my absence, David will be doing the teaching and the preaching. And pray for him and give him a hearing ear. I'm sure God will bless you together. I want to talk about what I began talking about last Sunday. I made this statement that I've made many times. The most important thing, as God looks and listens this morning, sees the thoughts of your hearts. Most important thing in all the world is what we think of His Son. The thoughts that we have in our minds and our hearts about His Son. That's everything. People talk about decisions and going through rituals and ceremonies. The most important thing in all the world is what we think about God's Son, the Lord Jesus. He is, as I read last week, He is all and in all. He has preeminence over all things. He has preeminence. God has given Him the preeminence. He has a name that's above every name that ever has been, is, or ever shall be. The name of Jesus. And one day, they won't do it today, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is L-O-R-D, big capital letters, to the glory of God. They don't preach Him that way. Most Baptists that I know of, they would talk about, they would stand up and fight for the doctrine of His deity. But that's as far as it goes. It's just a doctrine. When you talk about it being sovereign over them, and then they back off. They won't have it. Not have this man to rule over me, they say, but they will, and you will, and I will. He's ruling. He's reigning. Always has, always will, until every enemy, one way or the other, sooner or later, is put under His feet. He'll put them there. He has the power. He has the ability. Now, the subject of my message again today is number two, Christ is all. Second part. Christ is all. I want to read you some passages of Scripture that if modern preachers, believers, professing Christians would read these Scriptures and believe them, that part of the controversy would be over. That He is God. He's God. And that means everything. Look at Isaiah just a moment. Isaiah, there's so many places that we could read from. But Isaiah chapter 9, look there just a moment. And verse 6. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. That child born is the Son of God, given, delivered up. And the government. A list of these words. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. He's a ruler. And His name shall be called Wonderful. To those who know Him, He is a wonder. He is a wonder. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of His government, there shall be no end until every enemy is put under His feet. Words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look with me, if you will, to Philippians. Philippians. Because of who He was and what He accomplished, what He suffered, what He did, God raised Him up. Wherefore, in verse 9, God also hath highly exalted Him. How high? Well, how high is high? Infinitely high. Above all things, all names. And given Him a name which is above every name. That's pretty high. pretty high. What is his name? Wonderful. Counselor. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That at the name of Jesus, one of these days, every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. They're going to glorify God by exalting His Son to where He's supposed to be. He's the Lord. That man of Nazareth, who is he? He's the Lord God. He's the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the eternal God. I think about a song a lot of times that this old man in England brought before the church. He confessed Christ, and well, you have to talk to the deacons and the elders and all this to get into the church. And every question they'd ask him, he said, "I'm an old sinner and nothing's all, but Jesus Christ is my all and in all." If we can say that from the heart with some understanding, we've said it all. Because Jesus Christ is everything, we're nothing. Look at Colossians just a moment. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist, have their cohesiveness. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, He might have the preeminence. A preeminent one is one exalted above all others, and He has the preeminence in all things. Whichever direction you want to look, whatever doctrine you want to think about, it the preeminence is Christ. He is the preeminent one. Now look at chapter 3, Colossians, verse 11. Those who've been born again. Verse 11, there's neither Greek nor Jew, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. We are nothing, whether rich or poor, black or white, bond or free, being born of God, to us, we are nothing. In our own opinion, we are nothing, and Christ is everything. That's just what it boils down to. I'm just an old sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all and in all. What do we think about His Son? I think He's wonderful. His name is wonderful. He's a wonder. I think He has a name above every other name that ever has been or ever shall be. I think He's Lord over all things. I think He has preeminence over all things. I think He's all and in all. He's all. If we have Him, we have all we need for time and eternity. And all blessings come to us in Him. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Him. If we have Christ, we have it all. If we don't have Christ, we have nothing at all. So Christ is all and in all. And so I thought about these things. Last week, I showed that Christ is all in creation. Without Him, there's not anything made that was made. He's our Creator. He's our Creator. And then I showed that Christ is all in providence. He's our ruler. I just read it in these verses. The government's on His shoulder. He's controlling, ruling, reigning over all things. All things in heaven, all things in earth, all things under there. It's Him the holy angels are singing praise to, holy, 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 in Isaiah chapter 6. They're talking about Him, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's all. And He's all in salvation. And He's all in the life of faith and obedience, the children of God. The love of Christ constrains us. If it doesn't, we're not serving God aright. Some way or the other, we're serving ourselves. Christ is all. Now let me ask you some questions. These people back in Israel, they stood before that holy mountain, and they knew that they could not stand before God and speak to God face to face. They said, we need a mediator. Moses, you go up for us. You go hear what God said. You come back and tell us. We can't see God and live. And old Scott Richardson said years ago, I remember these words. He said, God will not speak to nor be spoken to by any sinner except through a mediator. God won't speak to us except through Christ. We can't speak to God except through Christ. God won't approach us except in Christ. We cannot approach God except in Christ. We need a mediator. And Christ is all. There is one mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. There's not two, there's not three, there's only one. Christ is all. You want access to God? Christ is all. You want to speak to God and be heard? Christ is all. He's the only mediator between God and man. He's the Jacob's ladder. He's the way to God. There's no other way. And I repeat, God will not speak to any sinner except in Christ. Nor will He be spoken to by any sinner except those trusting in Christ. Those trusting in Christ. And if we have Christ, we are accepted in the Beloved. If we have Christ, we are in the family of God. We're the household of faith. God's our friend. Do we need a mediator? Then you have to talk to Christ. You have to look to Christ. There's only one mediator. I know people talking about people being saved who never heard of Christ and believing in this thing and that thing. But the only way anybody will ever be saved. Now listen to me. The only way anybody, any sinner, will ever be saved is by Him who is the way and the truth and the life. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the only mediator. He's the only way to God. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. That ought to be clear. He's the only way to God. He's the only way to God. Our blessed mediator. Now, there's something else we need if we're going to God and be accepted. We need a Passover lamb. Like Israel back in the wilderness, we need a Passover lamb. We need an offering to offer unto God by acceptance. We need blood to put on the post and the lintel of the door so He'll pass over us, pass us by, not destroy us, not kill us. And we have a Passover lamb. Christ is our Passover. Christ is our Passover. Find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. He's the real Lamb. The others were types and shadows. Christ is the real Lamb of God. That's what John meant when he said, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. All the other lambs down through history, the thousands upon thousands of them, never put away one sin. But this man, by one offering, he offered himself. By one offering, purged and put away our sin, and perfected us forever. This Passover lamb, perfected, we are perfect in Him. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The Bible said He redeemed us unto God by His own blood. Redeemed us to God by His own blood. Our Passover, our sacrificial lamb, offered Himself. He is essential. He is all and in all. You need a sacrifice. All religions claim to need a sacrifice. Even in the darkest corners of this earth, they imagine a God and they offer sacrifices to it. We need a sacrifice. God cannot clear the guilty. We need a sacrifice. Something to satisfy God. And Christ is the only satisfaction. Heard David read at this point, and God sent Him to be a propitiation of our sins. That means He satisfied God for us. We've got a sacrifice. But Christ is all and in all. There's no other. He's the mediator. He's the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for sins that God accepted. The sacrifice that satisfied the infinite justice of God. And God said, that's enough. God said, that's enough. He lay in the grave 3 days and God raised Him up. Our sin was put on Him and it was purged. And now it's gone. It's not on me. It's not on Him. It's G-O-N-E, gone. Purged. Put away. In this mysterious way, God hath perfected us through His Son. You know what we need above, I guess? No, not above everything. But we need, and that's what we're talking about, salvation. That's what salvation is. L-I-F-E. You need life. He only can give it. 1 John 5:21, as the Father raised up the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom He wills. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. He is the vine tree and we're the branches. All of our life comes from Him. We have no life in ourselves. It comes from Him. He not only is the living waters, He's the life-giving waters. Life. Colossians 1:4, I believe it is, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. He is our life. He's our mediator. He's our sacrifice, Passover lamb. He's our life. He gives life. He said, because I live, you live. We have life in Him, in our Lord Jesus Christ. By one offering, He perfected us forever. We need life. It's in Him. He giveth life to whom He wills. He is essential. And He is all. Only way we could ever, a sinner can ever have life, is to have Christ. Only way. You know something else we need pretty bad is we don't have any of our own. We need righteousness. Even the saints of God cry out in the Old Testament in Isaiah. They say all of our righteousnesses are just so many filthy rags in the eyes of God. We need righteousness. Only one way you can get it. One place you can get it. In the person of Christ. Romans chapter 10 and verse 4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He's the end of the law for righteousness. The law doesn't condemn us anymore. We're righteous in Christ. He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And in 1 Corinthians 1:30, Christ of God is made unto His people, believing people, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We need righteousness. You need Christ, because He is all our righteousness before God. And do we need rest, traveling under the guilt of sin, weary and heavy laden? Do we need rest? We need life. We need righteousness. We need rest. Hebrews chapter 4, Colossians chapter 2, Christ is our Sabbath. Christ is our rest. And He's the only rest. He's the only one. He gives us rest. He is our rest. As Spurgeon said, He is our Savior. He is our salvation. Our rest is in Him. Come unto me, says He, I give you rest. All you that are weary and heavy laden, come to me, come on. I give you rest. You need rest. You've been laboring under the burden and guilt of sin. Come to me, I give you rest. And you can't get anywhere else. Christ is all. Only place you can get it. Do we need peace? Ephesians 2:14, Christ is our peace. He not only made peace as the Prince of Peace, He is our peace. He's my peace. He's my peace. As I stand before God in Christ, He's my peace. And that you can't find it any place else. Christ is all. He's our peace, all of our peace. The Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. Peace in our hearts. Peace in our conscience. And that's so important. Because our consciences, it just condemns. Condemns and aggravates and causes contrition. And it's terrible to live with. Peace in our conscience. You remember what old Simeon said? God promised him he wouldn't die till he'd seen the Lord's salvation. And one day that child was brought to him, 8 years old. He realized who he was by the revelation of God. He picked him up in his arms. What a glorious, glorious moment. Realizing who he had in his arms. He said, Lord, now I'm ready to die in peace. I've seen your salvation. If you've seen His salvation in Christ, you're ready to depart in peace. And you can live with peace in your heart. And you can live with peace in your conscience. Look into Christ, who satisfied God for you. Trusting in Him, leaning on Him, loving Him, thanksgiving unto Him, we have peace. You know something else we need? We need a shepherd. And He's the only one there is. We need one to lead us and guide us and feed us and water us and protect us. All these things. That's what a shepherd does. A shepherd is one who's responsible for the sheep. A shepherd is one who has undertaken the sheep to care for them. Like little David, way back long time ago when he was watching over his father's sheep, it was his responsibility. The bear came, he stood up against him. Kill that rascal. The lion came, he stood up against him. And he killed that rascal. We need one to stand up against between us and that roaring lion, Satan. We need one who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and yet one who has the power to deliver us, the power to save us, the power in our darkest times to cause us to lie down by the still waters. And we've got such a shepherd. John chapter 10, Christ said, I'm paraphrasing, he said, I know my sheep. I lay down my life for my sheep. I speak to them by name, and they hear my voice. And another voice they won't hear. They hear me and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. A good shepherd. He said, I'll raise them up at the last day. I'll be one fold and one shepherd. Then also in Psalm 23, do we have a shepherd? David said, the Lord. Realizing who the Lord was, realizing what that meant, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. And the next response, the immediate response is, I shall not want. If the Lord's my shepherd, the whole universe is at his disposal to use to save us. There's no shortage of supplies with God. He has all he needs to save us, all he needs to protect us, all the wisdom, all the power, and he'll do it. He's committed to saving his people. And Christ is our prophet, and our priest, and our king. All that we have in Christ. You need a prophet, it's Christ. He's the only one. You need a priest, it's Christ. Whoever liveth to make an intercession for us, he's the only one. You need a king to rule over you, protect you, guard you. It's Christ. He's the only one. He sits on the throne of David. Christ is all. Everything. He teaches us as our prophet. He intercedes for us as our priest. And he reigns over us and governs us as our blessed King, Christ. He is the bread of life. He is the water of life. He is life. And Paul said, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom this world is dead to me, dying to me, and I'm dying to this world. This world is crucified to me, and I'm crucified to this world. If you're crucified, it takes you a while to die, but you're dying. This world died to me, and I'm dying to this world. This world doesn't have much for me, and they sure don't want me very bad. We're dying to each other. Let me say just a few things about Jesus Christ. First of all, he is all and in all to the Father. Read Proverbs 8. Back before eternity, the Father rejoiced in the Son, and the Son in the Father. Proverbs 8, I believe it is. And the Father sent him into the world, held his hand, so that in Isaiah 42, he would not fail, nor be discouraged along the way. Brought him victorious through the cross and out of the grave. He delivered his Son, his beloved Son. And he is all to the Father. In all of these things I've mentioned and more. My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He's all to the Father in creation and in providence and in our salvation. He is all. If you're not looking to the Son, you're looking in the wrong place. If you're not looking to the Son, you're not glorifying the Father. To the Father, He's all. God made Him to be all. God gave Him preeminence over all things. God delivered all things into His hands. He's all. And in all, He's all to the Father. Secondly, Christ is all. Christ is all to each, every, and all true believers. If they're a true believer, you ask them about their faith, it's Christ. Ask them who they trust, it's Christ. Ask them about their hope, it's Christ. Ask them about their righteousness, Christ. Mediator, Christ. Christ is everything, all and in all. He is the channel of all blessings which were given us in Christ before God ever made this world. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That literally means let's speak well of God. Let's eulogize God because He has blessed us, spoken well of us before He ever made this world in Christ. And blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ before He made the world. God spoke a good word about us. That's something to think about. Let it get a hold of you. Pray it to get a hold of you. Before God ever made this world, ever put the stars in space. God spoke a good word about David Edmondson and blessed him, chose him, loved him, blessed him in Christ with every blessing he would ever receive. Back yonder, Christ is a channel of all blessings, all spiritual blessings. If you have Christ, you have it all. If you don't have Christ, you don't have anything. Don't care how much religion, how many decisions you've made, if you don't have Christ. He that hath the Son, he's the one who has life. Because the Son is life. All of the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. He's all. He is all for us. He is all to us. He is all in us. Christ is all and in all. He is all for us. Made to be sin that we might be made righteousness of God in Him. Our representative, our substitute, our surety, our all and in all. He is all to us. All I need and all I want. All you need. And I hope all you want. Christ. And He is all in us. He dwells in our hearts by faith. The only good in us is Christ in us. And the only hope of glory, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. May God bless these words to my heart and to yours. Christ is all. Okay, David.